It's The Naked Scientist with me, Greer Jackson. Today, we're voyaging into the wonderful world of science. So far, we've heard about how science works, but not how it works its way into your ears. And so now, our first port of call is the press office.
So to get something from a scientific journal into maybe a mainstream newspaper, that's where we step in.
That's Emma Smith. She's a
science information manager at Cancer Research UK.
Emma and Aura Katani sat down for a natter about how research reaches us journalists.
Part of that falls down to our team. Most of us are very highly trained scientists ourselves. A lot of us have PhDs, we're doctors, so we understand the basic fundamentals of research. That's not to say that we understand every single scientific paper. I won't even pretend that, especially when it's something not in my field. But I can understand the fundamentals. And then often what we'll do is we'll call the researcher themselves and ask them to explain it to us in their own words so we can get not only the information, the key findings, but also some of the broader context. That the background, how it fits in with other research, why it's new and what its potential importance could be.
So you've worked out the story, what's important, what you want to tell the public. Then how does that get into the hands of journalists or, say, the Naked Scientist radio show or a newspaper or a website?
So one of the first things we'll do is write a press release, and then the press team, this is their specific role, is to take that press release, the information in it, and pitch it to journalists. So they'll send it to them via email or a quick telephone call to explain the key findings and try and get the journalists interested in the science.
So that's basically the process. You've got scientists doing the research, they write a scientific paper, you write a press release, and then it gets into the papers. What other ways are there that organisations like Cancer Research UK, scientists, research funders, are there other ways that they're getting scientific information out to the public?
Of course, we don't just rely on our press releases. We've also got an award-winning blog, which we use to explain scientific findings in a little bit more detail and with a bit more of a narrative than a paper can normally cover. We also cover other people's research in the news feeds, and we produce video content, animations, all this kind of extra material that helps explain the science that we're funding.
Increasingly, we're seeing a lot of organisations communicating directly with the public through things like social media, things like Facebook, Twitter, other social media platforms. Does Cancer Research UK do that, and how do you do it?
We have Twitter accounts, Facebook account, and absolutely people are very welcome to leave comments there and ask us questions. I actually think it has made a huge difference, because not only can people ask us things and get a quick reply, but also other people who might be interested can see that question and see the answer. Whereas before, it was much more of a closed system. So somebody, if they wanted to ask us a question, would have to write a letter, put it in the post, wait weeks for a reply, and then nobody else would see it. So I think this brings about a whole new level of transparency and communications with our supporters, which I think is a great thing.
Do you think people would be surprised to know how much you do work with journalists to get good stories out?
It's really important that we have very good relationships with journalists, and also that they trust us. That trusting relationship is absolutely vital in the work we do. It can sometimes mean the difference between a journalist publishing or pulling a story. And very often they will use Cancer Research UK as that balancing voice, the voice of expertise, to give a balanced argument and to bring, you know, some fact and some truth into maybe an otherwise slightly over-exaggerated piece.
And come on, what's the worst story you've seen? What's the one that made you absolutely slam your head in the desk and go, really? They're saying this?
There have been so many. That's a hard call. I think one of my favourites was going to the toilet in the night gives you cancer. And it was interesting research about circadian rhythms and disrupting sleep patterns and what effect that has, you know, on your hormones and chemicals that your body produce. Somehow it got turned into giving you cancer, which is always one of my favourites.
Well, I'm very glad to know that spending a penny in the night won't give me cancer.